Record it, start. There we go.
Yeah, because then we get to stay or leave.
Right. Okay. So it's almost 7 o'clock. Any questions or concerns? Anything we need to know before we get rolling? Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming, and we'll get started in just a few seconds. I will say that now that we have the candidates that are going to be here, I've eliminated the possibility of any participant unmuting themselves or starting their video. So once they're brought into the room, they're basically muted and their video's off. And it's officially 7 o'clock by my watch. So I will, Mark, do you want to admit them? And then, perfect. Okay, good evening and welcome to the Ward 1 Councillor Candidates Forum. This event is already being recorded. The link for the audio version of this event will be posted in the chat. If not, it will be posted at a later date through the Guelph Coalition for Social Justice. Before we start this meeting, we acknowledge that we're gathered on the ancestral lands of the Ottawandaron people and the territory of the Anishinaabeg, Haudenosaunee, Métis, and Mississaugas of the Credit. This land, where we now live and work, was their land for many thousands of years. This land is still home to over 6,500 First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people. While acknowledging territory is important, we also recognize it's a small part of building new relationships with the First Peoples of Canada. Land acknowledgements must take place alongside ongoing work to forge real understanding and respect and challenge the legacy of colonialism. May we all offer our hands in friendship as we work towards a just future. My name is David Del Duca. I'm your host and moderator for this evening's event. My co-host, Mark Berardini, will be ensuring the tech side of our event runs smoothly and will be monitoring the chat room. For assistance, please post any problems in the chat. Mics will remain muted to minimize any background noise. This event is hosted by the Guelph Wellington Coalition for Social Justice, a community-based coalition of individuals and organizations who advocate for equity, inclusivity, and the well-being of our community. Questions for the candidates were formulated by a new group from the community, Get Involved Guelph. Tonight's agenda consists of introductions and opening remarks, followed by a Q&A session and ending with closing remarks. During opening remarks, each candidate will have 1.5 minutes to introduce themselves, their campaign, and their vision for the City of Guelph. The Q&A begins with 7 questions prepared by Get Involved Guelph. Each candidate will have 1.5 minutes to respond to each question. It is expected that candidates will not name other candidates. If named, the named candidate will have an additional 30 seconds to respond. We expect a respectful presentation. I've got the discretion to mute any remarks that are deemed disrespectful. After the round of prepared questions, the virtual floor will then be open to questions from the public as time permits. Please post your questions in the chat box. To those questions, each candidate will have 1.5 minutes and then an additional 1.5 minutes of closing remarks to end the evening. Candidates, our timekeeper will notify you when you have 15 seconds to wrap up your response. When time is up, you will be muted. The candidates who've joined us this evening are Michelle Bowman and Aaron Caton. The order of presentation has been predetermined by draw, and we recognize Michelle Bowman to present opening remarks. Thank you.
Hey, thanks very much to the Coalition for organizing this. I did get a few emails earlier in the campaign and people were concerned about not having these forums, so they do really appreciate it. And also to the participants that have joined. I've lived in the center of Ward 1 for about 12 years. It's the longest I've lived anywhere. Guelph won my heart for sure. I became an aquatic ecologist because I wanted to solve social and environmental problems. And I was really happy spending the last 2 decades restoring and protecting the rivers in our mountain parks. But at this stage of my career, I feel like I can have a bigger impact in politics than I can continuing in science. I'd like to help the city center the well-being of people and the environment. And I'd like to help make sure we don't add to the affordability crisis. To do this, I think we need more diverse views and stronger consensus building to find efficiencies in the budget and to find really effective solutions to the problems we're facing. Also, I think wealth can show leadership in things like solving homelessness and also becoming a sustainable city. Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle. And we pass to Aaron for opening remarks.
We have to ask, okay. Just a minute, Aaron. There we go.
All right, are we working now?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, I'm Aaron Caton. I'm a mom, a business person, and a community volunteer who's been working on an advisory council for the City of Guelph. I'm very excited to represent the families and taxpayers of Ward 1 and give them the representation that they deserve. I've been meeting many people at the door and they feel overwhelmingly the same. They feel they've been ignored and lack city services. I'm running for city council because I also have a lack of sidewalks, traffic safety measures, snow plowing, and feel the streets are too dangerous to bike with my daughter. I'm a project manager. I'm going to fight for these changes and I'm going to stand up for the people of Ward 1 and make sure that we have these improvements implemented. Downtown is lovely, but we need the same level of commerce and services that downtown has everywhere. We need programs for our kids near our homes, farmers markets in our parks, post offices, parking, transit, and crosswalks. I've listened to all of the concerns that you've told me at the door and I'm taking them really seriously. I'm ready to be the champion that Ward 1 deserves.
Thank you, Aaron. And with that, we are going to move into the question and answer period. Based on the order that the candidate spoke, we are going to reverse. And so Aaron will be first to respond to question number one and Michelle will follow. Question one, the vision statement of Guelph's strategic plan is an inclusive, connected, prosperous city where we look after each other and our environment. First adjective, inclusive. While most Guelphites value diversity, some citizens still suffer from hate and other forms of abuse, such as racist and anti-2SLGBTQIA+ incidents. How will you help Guelph progress towards its inclusivity vision?
Well, I'm a disabled person and I'm also a non-binary person, so I am part of two marginalized communities, and I know how it feels to be excluded, and I know how it feels to be the subject of bigotry. So I think that we need to be including people by letting them lead the conversation. We have advisory councils right now in Guelph, and they don't have a big enough voice. So we need to have more access for them to talk to council directly instead of it going through the city. And I think that with that, we'll be able to amplify their needs in a more meaningful way.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, this diversity is really important to me. It was in my opening statement. I really think it benefits society and will benefit the city. I think the most important thing we need to do is really listen carefully to the marginalized groups and really hear what they're saying. I'd also like to have a continuous improvement model. So speak to the marginalized groups and staff, forge a path forward, evaluate how it worked, and just continually be making improvements. And I also like to say that diversity intersects with a lot of other ways that people can be marginalized. So we have to be cognizant of that as well. But yeah, I think I'll just end on, I think some people are worried about getting it perfect right off the bat. And I think we have to allow ourselves some grace to be imperfect. I know most marginalized people, as long as they see that we're trying, they're really forgiving and they are more comfortable educating us if we admit that. So yeah.
Thank you, Michelle. So we'll reverse order for question number two. Michelle, you'll go first. In December 2021, the city committed to prepare and work towards interim community-wide greenhouse gas emission targets by the end of June 2022. However, only targets for City Corporation itself have been developed, accounting for only 2.2% of the community's total. The question is, what would you do to accelerate the implementation of the city's commitment to a comprehensive city and community partnership for Guelph to reach net zero by 2050?
That's a really great question. It was really disappointing. The city only accounts for about 3% of our emissions, so there's a long way to go in the community. I think we were talking about sustainable development goals yesterday, and things that the city can do are protect our green spaces. They provide natural infrastructure against the effects of climate change. Also lots of incentives and zoning. So there's lots of things we can do with zoning to improve our net carbon emissions. So making sure that new builds are modernized and that there's opportunity for retrofitting old builds. And of course, transit as well is a huge piece of the puzzle. More bike lanes, better transit, incentives for people to get out of their cars, more walkable communities. All of those things can be done at the municipal level and can have incentives citywide, not just for city infrastructure.
Thank you, Michelle. Aaron?
Well, I agree with Michelle on a lot of that. And I would just like to add into that that build materials are really important. So there's a lot of things that people don't really know about and they don't think of when it comes to developments. So the types of materials that we use in construction can also off-gas, and that creates an extra layer of carbon emissions. So I think that we need to move to LEED certification, which also ends up being more accessible to a lot of different people. And that can get a 2-for-1 sort of bonus for that. And I also agree, we definitely need a improved transit right now, especially in Ward 1. Our transit is fairly unusable. It takes up to 2 hours to get to other areas in the city. So I think that if we brought in the high school students to our transit system, then we could improve it, the ridership, and then the provincial funding would increase so we could get transit at a lower cost. And especially when we think of things like the York lands and the new developments that are going to be going on there, we really have to be careful with the Clive Creek and how Fusion Homes is going to be building. So really think about how we develop instead of just what we develop.
Thank you, Aaron. Aaron, you are going to begin with a response to question number three. There's a growing demand for more housing in Guelph, including affordable, social, and supportive housing. The province has targeted for substantial growth, which challenges our sustainability. This is a two-part question. The first part, how would you accelerate the rate of infill intensification and mixed-use development in Guelph? And the second part, would you welcome social housing construction in your ward, along with increased annual funding for the Affordable Housing Reserve?
Well, I'm going to answer them in reverse. So I definitely would welcome social housing. I think that everybody can go through hard times, and sometimes it's going to be you, and you never know. And when you need help, then you want help to exist. And everyone deserves a home. It's just full stop. The issue with social housing is that we don't make sure that it's maintained, and that leads to disability and further economic disparagement. So what we need is social housing that is as good as every other house. And we also need it to be built in with our other apartments if we're going to be doing things like density. So like multiple income levels should be able to be in the same apartments. We need to have rent geared to income options, and that would help. I talked to Fusion Homes about this, and they really understood the idea when I started talking about, you know, you're going to have in-laws and everyone's got family and you want to live near your family, and not everybody's family has the same economic status or barriers. So everyone should be able to live together. And I think that we can encourage infill development by giving incentives to developers and fast tracking permits. But we just have to make sure that we have the infrastructure in the areas that we're going to be doing all of this density, because currently we have a huge lack of commerce in Ward 1 specifically. So we have to make sure that we've got walkable stuff for people to do.
That's time.
And we're choosing.
Thank you, Aaron. And to you, Michelle.
Yeah, again, I agree with a lot of things Aaron said, and I'll just build on some of them. I think Toronto's a great example of social housing that's just integrated into the community. So in Guelph, we have some, especially Ward 1, we have some really big areas, and we have some problem with NIMBYism. So I think smaller social housing integrated into the community is the way to go. Toronto's really shown that. Also, infill, the most sustainable places to live are the ones that are already built. But I echo what Aaron said, that we need the services. So I know in Ward 1, they're tearing down commercial to put up townhouses right around where Mark lives. And I'd like to see the commercial stay at least on the bottom level. So we don't have enough services already. We can't be tearing the ones down that we already have.
Thank you, Michelle. And you will go first for the next question. As an anchor component of the Baker Street development, the new main branch library will bring significant social, economic, and tourism benefits to Guelph. The project is well underway. Breaking contracts would cost taxpayers millions of dollars, and we'd lose the housing units that are attached to the project. The question is, please speak to your views on the topic. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a huge topic at the door and the most polarized topic. I'm a little concerned that people are absolutely have their heels dug in. They either say, I will not vote for you if you build the library, or I will not vote for you if you don't build the library. And that's really concerning that we somehow got to this level of polarization. I don't think it's necessarily my job to take a stance on the library, although I do have a strong one. I think my role in city council would be to try to build some consensus, see what the problems are, see if we can solve them. I agree that it's a done deal, that backing out would be very problematic. I have heard rumblings from the mayor and others that if the price goes up, then it opens the debate again. But as I mentioned, my role is going to try to be to build some consensus around this issue, because I don't want 50% of Ward 1 and 50% of the city really unhappy no matter what happens.
Thank you, Michelle. Aaron?
So I also hear the same thing at the door. There's a lot of issues going on with the library and whether or not it should be built. But whenever I explain to people at the door who are opposed to the library that when we did an audit, we found that most of the cost for the library, just overall in the budget, goes to rentals. And so if we want to be fiscally responsible moving forward, then we do have to build our own libraries. And this is one of those cases. Also, our current library doesn't meet the AODA standards for disability access. You can't even get in the, like I was told by one of the librarians, they push the button, they put the books in, and then they run up the steps because people get stuck in that elevator all the time. It must be horrifying. So That's a huge liability issue. And if you think that the library costs a lot of money, wait until you see the lawsuits. So the AODA is coming up on 2025, and that's when that will hit us really hard. And I think that waiting for the library to be built and pushing it off is the thing that actually costs us more money. So if we had actually started when it was approved, then we might have actually been done by now. And also the same thing happened with the police station, is that we've ended up in developer lawsuits there because of overages in time. So we need to really think about this in terms of, we need a library that fits how our population is going to grow. And especially for Ward 1, the kids don't have access to half the things in the South End that are going to exist in the downtown library. So that's going to bring it so much closer.
Thank you, Aaron. The next question, Aaron, you will speak first. It's generally understood that public transit use in cities must double by 2030 to meet climate goals and emission targets. What would you do to help us meet this target?
So I touched on this a little bit earlier. I was talking to the school board and I was talking, they were telling me about the transit consortium that deals with the school buses. I think that if we absorb high school students and potentially grade 7 and 8s, I don't know about the age group yet, into the transit system, then we would increase our ridership. And the province ends up paying more for us the more riders we have. So it's kind of like a chicken and egg situation. Like, you need to have a good transit system for people to want to ride it, but you know, you need to have money to put into the transit system. So I think that would give us a nice influx of funding to be able to create the grid system that other people would really want to need, like use and need. And also just having more stops available. Like, our current system where we have the on-demand buses, we've only got 5 stops and they're like right in the center of Ward 1. So everybody on the edge has to walk like 30 blocks or more to actually get to the on-demand system. So it's not a really good representation of people who want to ride the bus. It's just a representation of people who can actually get there.
Thank you, Aaron. Michelle?
Yeah. I guess I have lots of just kind of random thoughts on this topic, but I've heard the most important thing is reliability. So I don't think there's any reason for buses to be early. They can wait if they're kind of running ahead of time. I know that really frustrates me when I'm there early and they're come and gone already. Of course, affordability. I've heard a lot at the doors about efficient routes. So if someone just wants to go somewhere else in Ward 1, they have to go downtown first. So just mapping those out, some more efficient routes around the city. I think connections also to inner city. So a lot of people can't get to work. Some people don't, work in Guelph. So things like transit to Owen Sound has worked really well and on demand within the county. So if we can have some more intercity transit, not just to Toronto or Kitchener, that might help. Also, I came from a city where there's lots of bikes on the front of buses. So if we can integrate the bike lanes with buses. So those are kind of my random thoughts on transit.
Excellent. Thank you, Michelle. Michelle, you'll answer the next question first. There's been considerable community discussion about reallocating some public resources currently assigned to the police to other agencies qualified in harm reduction in crisis contexts associated with homelessness, mental health, substance abuse, and related matters. Please share your thoughts on this matter.
And I think this is a hugely polarizing and contentious topic, and I don't think it needs to be. Basically, the way I see it is that it's a great idea, and it actually is in the police service's best interest. It's things they're not trained to deal with. So absolutely, but I think before that, there's a lot of misunderstanding in the community. I think even the name Defund the Police brings up lots of emotions on both sides of the equation. But again, I think it's a great idea. I think it'll take a lot of communication and consensus building and community engagement. Because I don't want, again, to see half the community unhappy with any decisions that we make going forward. But I know Erin has said before that we have to look at every part of the budget and find efficiencies, and the police budget. Sorry to steal that, Erin, but I like it. So I'll end there and hand it over.
Thank you, Michelle.
Steal all my good ideas because we want them to happen, right? So like, that's not a problem. But yeah, efficiencies are important, right? And that's what we're doing. And I don't think that, like you said, the police want to be doing the jobs that social workers and the community groups are already doing. And so when we're thinking in terms of efficiency, we don't need a doubling of effort. What we need is the people who do it well to do it more effectively and to have more resources. So we should be having the people who are skilled in mental health doing the check-ins with people. We should be having youth outreach workers doing that work, because I know so many people in Ward 1 have issues with kids egging their house, just being up at night, ringing the doorbells, and like people have PTSD. And that's not something that police can do anything about. Like, I went down and I talked to the police equity officer about that. And he says, we don't want to criminalize kids. And I'm like, exactly, right? So we need someone else to be doing those jobs. And it just makes sense to be reallocating certain portions of the police budget to do those things, because it's a city service, just like any other city service. And we need it to be efficient. We need it to be effective. And if they're not able to do those tasks, then we need to be able to give the money to someone who can.
Thank you, Erin. And you'll start for the last question in the question and answer period. Question 7. It's been widely stated that the province's Ministerial Zoning Orders, or MZOs, and the strong mayor's legislation, which is Bill 3, are contrary to healthy local democratic processes. What are your views on this topic?
Yeah, like, we're being elected so that our voices can represent the people in the wards that we serve. And if we have legislation that says that our voices don't matter, then that means the people in our ward don't matter. And one person should not be making the bulk of the decisions, because I need perspective. Everybody needs perspective. Nobody's going to be able to get it right 100% of the time. And everyone needs to be able to be at the table, having their voice heard. And that's why it is a vote. That is the core of democracy. And we do not need to have tiny dictatorships in our cities, because then nobody gets heard. And right now we have the issues within our ward that we seem to be ignored a lot. And that's only going to get worse if we only have the mayor being able to have their voice heard.
Thank you, Erin. Michelle?
Yeah, I think I'll echo a lot of what Erin said on this topic. I was really happy that it was unanimous on council not to support the Strong Mayor initiative. My opening statement was about diversity and how diversity makes us better and stronger and makes us come up with better solutions. So I agree, we need more voices, not fewer voices. The MZOs are really close to my heart because I spent my career trying to protect the environment, and it kind of skirts around all those hard-fought environmental laws that we fought long and hard for and that are really important, and especially with climate change. The Amazon warehouse on the wetland was a great example, and we don't want to have to protest these things constantly. The legislation is there for a reason, and they shouldn't be sneaking it in under the radar.
Thank you, Michelle. So at this point, as my co-host Mark has put into the chat, if anyone has a question, they can type it into the chat. We'll take a little bit of time here to allow people to do that. And then we'll just kind of continue in the same pattern where, given that Michelle spoke last on question 7, she'll speak first on the first question to come up in the chat. If we don't have any additional questions in the chat, Then we'll go to our closing statements. Again, I'll give just a few seconds if anyone's interested in adding a question to the chat at this time. Yes, and it's been identified again. Dhruv Shah sends his regrets due to illness. He was scheduled and had committed to participating. He is not well enough to do so, unfortunately. We hope he gets well.
While we're waiting, the video won't be shown, but the audio will be played on some of our social media. I believe it will be uploaded to the Guelph Wellington Coalition of Social Justice page, as well as the Guelph Breakfast Club that meets every Thursday. So we have one question, David, from Nora.
Yes, we will be well represented by both of these candidates, but I'm sorry the others did not see fit to attend this meeting. Climate stress is the most pressing issue before all cities. Thanks for addressing this in your answers. So more a thank you than it is a question. Thank you for that, Nora. Seeing no other questions coming through the chat, I think we'll probably just move to closing statements. And so we'll reverse order from opening, and that means, Aaron, you will go first.
I'm really happy to be doing this. I've been delegating for 2 years, and I've been dealing with my issues and friends' issues with the city, and I've been helping solve issues at the door this whole campaign, and I can't wait to be able to be more effective and efficient as your city councilor. I love Guelph. I'm so excited that I moved here. I definitely feel I made the best choice possible, and I want my daughter to grow up in a spectacular, thriving city, and I think that together we can make those changes that are needed to have transit, better services, all of the possible climate change actions to make sure that our developments are sustainable. And we can make these choices together. And I think that we're going to make Guelph probably the best city in all of Canada.
Thank you, Aaron. And Michelle.
Thanks again for organizing this. I think a lot of people will listen in later on. And I echo that it's too bad everyone couldn't be here tonight, but Aaron and I have both been reminding people you can vote for both of the people that are here tonight. So, as I mentioned before, I've kind of achieved my career goals and I'd really like to focus on being on council. I was a little bit disappointed that council went against recommendations and continued to make these part-time positions. We have huge decisions to make around climate change infrastructure, eliminating social problems. And to me, that isn't an after work and weekend kind of job. It's a full-time job. It's really important to me that the priority is of the ward come first. So that came through. And when I talked about the library and the police, I really think that's the job, not to go in with an agenda, but to go in to listen and to find the best solutions possible for the most number of people and make sure the minorities aren't left behind either. Just because their problems aren't as prevalent doesn't mean they're not as important. So I just really enjoy problem solving. I enjoy consensus building and just giving us a vision of the future that everyone can get excited about.
Thank you, Michelle. For those that are here still participating, if you did not have a question at this time but would like to ask the question of the candidates, I'm sure the candidates would be happy to hear from you. Their contact information is available through the Guelph City website. In closing, I want to thank our candidates for their commitment to Guelph. Thank you also to the participants who have taken the time to learn more about the candidates and some of the crucial issues of our times. This event is the culmination of the collaboration of several community groups in Guelph, and we thank each of them. I hope that you all take the opportunity to get out and exercise your democratic right to vote October the 24th or earlier. I have a slide just to remind that, and I will use that to end the meeting. Thank you again to everyone for coming out.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Michelle. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Mark. I'm going to stop the recording and then I'm going to end the meeting. I don't think there's anything else really we need to do.
Thank you.
Awesome.